നമോ ഓം വിഷ്ണു പദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണെ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരണെ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ ഹരേ So yesterday we were discussing from Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter the verse yanisha sarvabodhanam sya jagrati samyami sya jagrati bodhani sanisha pashyato mune. We mentioned there that the important thing Krishna says that before everything else in life is to first make this decision, that which is Krishna calls it as Vyavasayatmaya Buddhi. That's the name Krishna has given to that. In the beginning of this chapter, we saw that word, Vyavasayatmaya Buddhi. Vyavasayatmaya Buddhi means to make up one's mind that one wants to one wants to free oneself from the cycle of birth and death, and in that process to understand that nothing in this material world will stay. Everything has to go one day, including our own body. So having understood that point, we have to know that what we are. That is the next thing Krishna says. That after that, one has to be situated within oneself, what his original identity is. So Krishna says, the first step is this decision making inside, not anything else. See, not even sadhana. This decision making is such an important thing. Vyavasayatmaya Buddhi. And after that, Krishna points out that this will lead into what is known as Sthitaprajñatvam. Sthitaprajñatvam means a steady intelligence in that direction, that not to waver anymore, that this is what I need in my life, nothing else. That making that decision. So that will lead into Sthitaprajñatvam. And Krishna also mentioned something important there, that two things, Shandi and Vigaram. Shandi means peace. Those who are, Krishna's point is this, from the Upanishads, Krishna takes this message from Kathopanishad. Shreyas and Prayas. Shreyas means peace. Prayas means power. Those who are after power, their mind will go external. Those who are after peace, their mind will turn inwards. This is the difference. Those who are after peace, they turn their mind inward looking. Those who are after power, their mind will go external. So that's why people who are very powerful in this world, in the material world, their mind is very much external. And therefore, it's very difficult for them to come to spiritual life because of the external nature of the mind. They have cultivated the mind in such a way, the mind became absorbed in everything else in the world except the soul. Except the soul inside. So if the mind goes out and goes after objects outside or persons outside, individuals outside, what will happen is the mind will become very powerful in the growth outside. But if we allow the mind to come inwards and start looking for the soul, it will withdraw from the external objects, but it will find the peace inside the soul. So that's the point Krishna was making. And that is known as Shreyasa. Shreyasa means the ultimate benefit for the living entity. Prayasa means the acquiring the strength in the outside world. Having spoken those two things, Krishna also mentions there in that same verses we were talking about that the living entity by nature is a very powerful powerful element, in the sense that soul by nature is very, very powerful. So Krishna gave the example that the, just like this is from the Mandukya Upanishad, the Dr. Frog's understanding. Like the frog in the well and the frog in the sea. Frog in the sea came to see the frog in the well, and frog in the well could not understand the frog in the sea situation. So frog in the sea spoke to the frog in the well that the nature of the sea is much bigger than the well. But still, the frog in the well kept thinking that it cannot be that bigger than this well. 5 times, 10 times, not more than that. So eventually, the frog in the sea says to the frog in the well that unless you come and see the frog, the sea, you are not going to understand what the sea is, what the size of the sea is. So, from this example is came this Upanishad. Mandukya Upanishad came from that. Manduga means frog. So, we are all Mandugams in that sense. Having limited ourselves to this material body, we are thinking that this body is everything and we can only live within this body and we are limited to this body. This is our ignorance that is acquired come with the acceptance of the body. Once we accept the material body, this identification becomes so strong that we forget our capabilities, what we are capable of, as in the spirit souls, nature as a spirit soul. So we discussed all that, and then Krishna also says there that the process is once we recognize this, our capacity of the soul, and Krishna points out there that the Vedandameham Purusham Mahandam, that it's much beyond the Purusham Mahandam. He is above everything else. That he has such a great capacity to understand things, and all the Mahatma says there that even if they have been given an option to come and search for this truth, people don't want to take it. They're just frightened of this, that what is without body, how can I live? What will happen to me without this body? This fear is very much strongly embedded in us. So it was then that the bodily identity is due to the false ego inside us. So we were discussing that example of Mahabali, isn't it? At the end we talked about that. Mahabali, the story may look very strange that we have Mahabali offered 3 feet of land Vamanamurti asked from Mahabali. And Mahabali handed over by 2 feet, Mahabali measured the whole lower planetary systems, earthly planet, everything. And for another feet, he measured the higher planetary system. For the 3rd feet, when Vamanamurti asked Mahabali, where do you give me the 3rd feet of land? Mahabali showed his head and told Vamanamurti, put your feet on my head. What does that mean actually? It may look surprised, the 3rd feet you could measure with such a small feet. As long as Mahabali says to Vamanamurti, if you don't increase the size of your feet anymore, Vamanamurti's intention was, the one thing what we all hold very dear to us and we hold on to us all the time is this false ego. Once you surrender the false ego, we are finished. This identity with the body is over. Identity with the body is over. The moment we surrender the false ego. And that is why in the 9 processes of devotional service, if you look, the 9 processes, hearing, shravanam, kirtanam, glorifying, smaranam, remembering, archanam, offering the worship, shravanam, kirtanam, vishwamasmaranam, padasevanam, serving the lotus feet, archanam, offering the worship, vandanam, paying obeisances, dasyam, servitude, sakyam, friendship, atmanivedanam, 9th one. Out of these 9 ones, the first eight ones, you can do it. But the 9th one is Krishna's mercy. That surrender, the last thing. Vamanamurti decided to offer that to Mahabali. And that is why Mahabali's intelligence worked in the right direction. He understood that by surrendering this Atmanivedanam, or offering this my head, in other words, that false ego. Offering the head means offering that false ego to Vamanamurti, that I will get the highest benefit. Mahabali was very sure about that within himself. So, what actually separates us from Krishna is this false ego. Is this false ego inside, which works all the time on a subtle level. And therefore, when Mahabali offered that, you see, the highest benediction in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabali got it. More than anyone else. Nobody else has been blessed like the way Mahabali has been blessed by Krishna. And Mahabali has not executed any austerities or penances or anything. All he has done was he surrendered his ego. You can see the power of surrender there. Nothing in this world is as powerful as surrendering your ego to Krishna. Krishna is expecting that. That is the once that ego has gone, then there is no impurities inside. There is no vasanas inside. Complete vasanas, everything has been wiped out from inside, and the person is pure enough that Krishna accepts him wholeheartedly. Therefore, Krishna says to him, Rakshishye sarvadoham tvam. The blessing from Krishna is like this. Rakshishye sarvadoham tvam sanugam saparichadam. When he asked Mahabali to go to Sutalam planet, Krishna, Mavanamurti says to Mahabali that you can go and live in Sutalam. Sutalam is one of the seven planetary systems below the earthly planet. Adalam, Vitalam, Sutalam, Taladalam, Rasatalam, Patalam. So, out of that, Sutalam has got one of the greatest opulences life there. And Krishna, Vamanamurti says to Krishna, to Mahabali, that you go there and with all your family members, including Prahlada, his grandfather, and live there. Rakshishye sarvadoham, I will always be there to protect you. Sanyugam saparichadam, that every one of you will be protected by me. And sada sannihidam meera tatramam drikshade bhavan, that I will be present. How will you know that? I'll be standing outside like a gatekeeper or a watchman or a guard, security person. I'll be standing outside throughout the time as long as you are living in Sutalam. And when this particular Manandaram is over, Mahabali will be given the position of Indra in the next Manandaram. Mahabali becomes Indra then. So you can see this devotee, demon and all that, nothing is a permanent thing with anybody. We think that, oh, he's a demon, so we completely reject them. And somebody is a devotee, we think he's always in a higher position as a devotee. Nothing is established in that way. As far as Krishna is concerned, there is no devotee, there is no demon. What he is seeing is this, if the person is surrendered or not. That's all. That's all what matters to Krishna is concerned. So, Mahabali was given this special benefit that he will stay in that, Sudalam planet till the end of this Manu's time, and in the next Manu, he will come as Indra. Indra's position will be offered to Mahabali. So that is how Mahabali is that one surrender created all this situation for Mahabali. Yakshishe sarvadoham tam sanugam sabarichadam sada sannihidam veera tatramam drishade bhavan. And not only that, when you are in Sutalam, while living there, you will always see me standing outside as your bodyguard or as your security person. So this is Krishna's special mercy to Mahabali. And in the Bhagavadam, you will also notice, to prove that Mahabali's outside, Mahabali's house, Mahabali's palace, Vamanamurti was standing there all the time when Ravana came there to see Mahabali once. And Mahavana wanted to enter inside the house, Mahabali's house. At that time, Vamanamurti told Ravana that you cannot go in, the boss is busy inside. He is doing his worship inside. So when he said that, Ravana did not care. Who is this 2-3 feet old person talking to me? Vamanamurti is very short, 3 feet high, isn't it? So Ravana forcefully tried to enter. Vamanamurti kicked Ravana from there and he fell down upside down. He came down, fell into Lanka from there. So in the Bhagavatam you will see this, that Ravana brought back the information that Mahabali is protected very much in his planet in Sutalam. So we're discussing that yesterday. So this, once we surrender to Krishna, which is the highest, this is what I am saying all the time, that bhakti means not all that what we display ourselves. Bhakti is surrender. The key to bhakti is surrender to Krishna. The one who surrenders, he will experience what is bhakti. Otherwise, it is not possible to know. So, therefore, as long as we have the presence of I inside, I am this, I am that, identification with me, the body, and the false ego, there will not be any peace inside. Shanti won't happen inside. So that is the main thing to say. So the Shanti comes when in our consciousness, when the I gets involved, Shanti gets disturbed. The peace goes away as soon as the identification with I, the person, false ego, comes in. It goes away at that point. So, and once Shanti is experienced, the peace is experienced inside, then it is Akhandagaram. Akhandagaram means it's unlimited. That peace has its nature in that way, like an ocean. Shanti is like an ocean. It is that Shanti what Krishna is talking in the next verse. If you look the verse 70. Apuryamanam achalapratishtam samudramapa pravishandiyavan samudramapa pravishandiyadvad tadvad kamayam pravishandi sarve sashandim apnoti na kamakami. Apuryamanam achala pratikshtam samudram apa pravishandi yadvad tadvad kamayam pravishandi sarve sashandim apnoti nakamakami. Translation: a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. This verse is a important verse in the sense that apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvad tadvad kamanyam pravishanti sarve sa shandim apnoti na kamakami. Let's look at that. Krishna says here that one who has got that intelligence, vyavsaya almiya buddhi, which we discussed before, he may have desires. There is a difference here. Kami and Kamakami. You saw the word used there? Kamakami. Kami is different than Kamakami. What is the difference between Kami and Kamakami? Kami means we all have desires which comes all the time. The point Krishna is saying here is that let the desires come, but if you do not appreciate them inside, when the desires come. In other words, you don't fall into it. That means you don't try to develop them. Desires will come. That you can't stop it. Desires will naturally come. Desires, you can't stop it. But if you do not appreciate them, or in other words, if you don't allow that to materialize, or you don't want to give, encourage it, if you don't encourage them, the desires, if you encourage them, you are kamakami. Desires are coming, but if you don't encourage them, Krishna says you are only a kami. Kamam will come, desires will come, but if you encourage them, then you become kamakami. So Krishna's point is, don't encourage them when desires come. If you develop that attitude, Krishna says that this will not happen. This will leave one day. One day, those desires will go. So, all that means, a lot of desires may come, but you are not particular that all that desire should be fulfilled. This is the point Krishna is making there. That the urge shouldn't be there inside to fulfill all the desires. That is in our control, isn't it? Desires will come. That we can't stop it. That is the very nature of the living entity. So many desires. While you are in contact with the modes of nature, different kinds of desires will come. Krishna says that you can't stop it. But if you don't honor them and try to fulfill those desires, if you restrict your urge to fulfill those desires, you will escape from that. This is the point. And by continuously reflecting on these things, if you come to the conclusion, let the desires come, no problem, but as long as we don't have the thought inside that desires are good, as long as we understand that desires are not a good thing, desires are not a good thing, and if you don't create any more desires by our own actions, in such a way, if we live in this world, Krishna says that will help the situation. So in other words, desires is bound to come, but if we don't allow the, if we don't appreciate those desires to develop, in other words, kama kami, that's that word kama kami means, what Krishna has used there. That he says there, tadvat kamaya pravishanti sarve sa shandim apnoti na kama kami. So in other words, one who has desires, he can find peace in this world. But one who is all the time trying to fulfill the desires and allowing more desires to develop inside, he will not find peace. That's the point. You see that difference, what I'm saying? That desires will naturally come. Krishna says, let them come, doesn't matter. But inside, if you have made a decision not to anymore honor those desires, plus not allow new desires to develop, and understanding inside that it is not good to develop desires, if that has come, Krishna says it won't disturb you. The desires won't disturb you. And that means you are not particular that all the desires should be fulfilled. If you have that mood, Krishna says, all this second chapter is only talking about one thing, how to break away from our modes of nature. The attachment to the connection to the modes of nature. Desires are a part of that. So, sometimes, Krishna says, that sometimes material nature will fulfill those desires if you don't desire it. If you don't desire it, material nature will fulfill those desires. But, sometimes it may not happen. So it will come and it will go on its own. Very often, one who is not particular about, in other words, a certain indifference to this world in that way. One who is not very particular about fulfilling the desires, one who is not particular, for him, the desires may get fulfilled if he is not particular about it. That is another law in that. There is another rule like that. But we should not think that, oh, this is a technique or a trick. Krishna says like that. It's not a trick. Because in spiritual life, no trick will work. In the spiritual life, no trick will work. That is the reason when we use Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, meditation, if all these things, if we make it a trick, and Krishna will not allow us to make a success, make it a success. Krishna won't allow us to do that. That tricks and techniques and all that will not work in spiritual life. There we follow the instructions what Krishna is saying, and if you have taken it on board, you can see the results will come in its own way. Otherwise it's not going to happen. So that's the point. That if I'll use my intelligence, I'll use my cleverness, and if you try to do that, it will not happen. In other words, technique, tricks, that will not bring the happiness. What we need is the goal should be that shanti, the peace inside. And if we inquire after that, Krishna will take our side. Krishna will support us in that. Provided we have made that decision inside, it is this peace that I am looking for. So the goal, Krishna says, that it is this peace that is more important inside. All other things will have no value, really. So, sometimes one who goes outwardly looking for power, like in the case of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu and others, if you go in that direction, sometimes you will see Krishna will give something. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu also got a lot of power, didn't they? They got a lot of power. So similarly, you can see that Krishna sometimes supports demons also. But the only problem with the demons is this, that when we develop that demonic nature, one day Krishna will drop us. And that fall will be very, very heavy fall. A big fall it will be. In other words, Krishna has to come and punish us strongly before we can come to our senses. So, if you fall from a small height, the damage may not be very big. But if you fall from the top of a cliff or a mountain, that could be very heavy. So that's what happens to all these big egos. That when they fall from a very high level and they get hurt very badly. They get hurt very badly. So Krishna says here that only one who is looking for peace alone, and even if it's having desire inside, it doesn't matter, but he should not become a kamakami. He should not become a kamakami. That's why he said, tadvad kamaya pravishanti sarve. That kamam will be there, but na shandim apnodi kamakami. Kamakami will never become peaceful inside. So through that verse, Krishna is saying, apuryamana machala pratishtam. That a person who has come to that peaceful state of existence, he is so peaceful, apuryamanam ajala pratishtam, no matter what happens in this world, he is inside like a powerful ocean, a big, very big ocean. Anything that happens in the world outside, all the waves that comes in, it gets dissolved in that ocean there. It gets dissolved in that ocean. Just like he gave the example that samudramaba pravishanti yadvad. Exactly like many rivers are going and falling into the sea, into the ocean. But ocean doesn't get disturbed. Continuously so many big rivers comes and falls into the ocean. But nothing happens to the ocean. Ocean is very still. That gambhiryam, that greatness of the ocean. And that's exactly what Krishna says, a person who has come to this stage of peacefulness inside. He will be like that ocean. No matter what happens in the world outside, it does not disturb him. He is above that. Because his state of peace, what he has acquired, he will stay in that situation. He will stay in that situation. So, having spoken about Shanti before, compared to vigaram, emotions, and having spoken about shanti instead of power, about peace against power, Krishna says the person in peace is more powerful than the person who has got power. The person in power will only last some time. He cannot last forever. One day or the other, the power will go from him. He has to give up. Person in shanti stays in shanti forever, peace. So, on a long run, Krishna says, peace is more important. Peace is more important. Because it is in the peaceful, Krishna always asks this question, isn't it? That, ashandasya kutas sukham. One who has no shanti, what happiness has he got, Krishna says. In other words, that one who has not reached the self-realization, state of self-realization, and has come to the platform of peace inside, shanti inside, he can never be happy under any circumstances. Earlier Krishna mentions that, isn't it? Ashandasya kutasukham, he says. Ashandi, one who has not shandi, he what happiness has he got? Even in the material world, that was Krishna's question. What to speak about in the real estate? So, Krishna has gone in a deeper level and compared the things and telling us that shandi is more important than the power outside. You can go out and collect with your mind as much power as you want, wealth, followers, and all kinds of acquisitions in the material world. Krishna says you will become powerful, but you will never have shanti inside. Krishna says shanti is more valuable than the power from the world, from the world outside. This is the most important point there. And then Krishna says, apuryamanam achala pratishtam, that the person who has come to that state of shanti is like Vasishtam said that, samudraseva gambhiryam, like in the ocean, he is always in that state where nothing disturbs him. Then Meroriva Sthiram Sthiram means Sthirada. Sthirada is his steadiness is so good that like a Meru mountain, he is so fixed everything. And the Shitala Chindo, that inside it is like a moonshine, so peaceful within. And Udedi Vijarinaha, and he is not concerned over anything else. So that state is what Krishna is saying in this verse, Abhuryamana Majala Pradishtam. Samudramava Pravishandi Yadval, Tadval Kamaya Pravishandi Sarve, Sashandim Apnoti Na Kamakami. Kamakami will never reach that state, Krishna says. Kamam will be there. Kamam is difficult to wipe out. So long as three modes of nature are there, the desires will be there. Generally, people have their understanding like this. They are saying that, oh, we have to give up all your desires. Krishna is not saying that. Krishna says desire will be there. Desire cannot be given up. What we should avoid is not allow the desires to become affect us. That means not appreciate the desires and allow that desires to become influence us. So that is what more important than trying to stop the desires coming. You cannot stop the desires coming. Desires will keep coming. But if you don't honor them, or if you don't allow them, glorify them, and if you know that developing desires is not a good thing, Krishna says you can make that break with the, you can break that connection with the desires. So that is Kamakami. Kamakami is what Krishna is talking about. Krishna doesn't talk about Kami. He says Kami you can't avoid. But Kamakami is a person who is more advanced than a person who is trying to stop desires. Kamakami. Because all these things are happening inside, isn't it? It's not outside. Everything is happening inside. So how much inside is changing is more important. So, Krishna says that Kamakami. And then, what does it mean? It means that even if it is, if Kamam, let it come, but let not be a Kamakami, he says. If we do like that, even if we have cultured some desires inside in the past, eventually they will also leave you in its own. Once they know that you are not anymore honoring them, anymore respecting them, these desires, they will leave you on its own, on their own. Because it is there, that is the main thing, that not to honor them anymore or not to appreciate them anymore. So generally it is considered the material body is like a lamp. Material body is like a lamp. The desires are the oil in the lamp. And the false ego is the wick in the lamp. The spiritual master's duty is to, he burns the wick, lights the wick on. And what do we have to do? In that process, eventually the wick will burn and finish itself. That is the duty of the spiritual master. All we have to do is not to allow that the lamp not to get extinguished. In other words, as long as the lamp is burning, the wick will eventually dry out. The wick will eventually burn and finish itself. So we should not allow any more pour oil into it. Suppose a lamp is burning. There is oil in the lamp. There is a wick in the lamp. The spiritual master lights the lamp, lights the wick, isn't it? He lights the wick. Till the oil runs out, the wick will burn. Once the oil finishes, the wick will also die. Wick is finished then, isn't it? Wick cannot burn anymore. That this wick is the false ego, the oil is the desires, and we are the lamp. We are the lamp. So, as long as we don't pour more oil, the wick will not be able to burn anymore. So that's why Krishna is saying, Kamakami, what he does is, he does not pour any more oil into it. Whatever existing oil is there, once it runs out, the wick also will eventually finish up. So, once we know this principle, it is easier. Actually, there is nothing so easy like spiritual life, on one sense. It is the most easiest thing, or the easiest thing is the spiritual life. Because there is nothing to be done in spiritual life. This is the most important thing. We think that spiritual life is a long ongoing process for a big project for many, many thousands of years and lifetimes, isn't it? That's misunderstanding actually. It is not so. Spiritual life is not something for a many, many lifetimes. That's because we have misunderstood spiritual life. Krishna says then, the moment you are able to control this false ego inside, without allowing that to develop, you have come out of the problem. The problem is over. Then never this allow the false ego to wake up and act on its own. And that is what Krishna says, Ananda Samudram, or the ocean of bliss. And in there, inside, a lot of desires, attractions, repulsions will be there. And even though all these things, these waves are coming and disturbing inside, that shanti inside is like an ocean. The shanti inside is like an ocean. The ocean should be able to accept anything and still be very steady. Like the ocean which doesn't have any waves. When you go deep into the ocean, you see there is no waves. It is still. So similarly, the ocean, once it has accepted all the kinds of waves that's coming from material life, material existence, when all those waves are coming inside, it's all taken in and it gets dissolved there. It doesn't have any more activity inside. And similarly, all the rivers are falling into the river, and the same way, all kinds of temptations which comes from outside, if we are not particular, if we learn not to allow them to grow inside and not allow them to hurt you, or if you are not particular about that, then once they go inside, they'll get dissolved in that ocean of peace inside. The peace which is inside. In that ocean, everything will get dissolved. That is what Krishna is saying, Abhuryamana Achala Pratishtam. That word, first word, Abhuryamana Achala Pratishtam, means this. That Achalam, Achalam means it cannot move anymore. Pratishtam, it is situated in that way. So this is a state of consciousness of a person who is realized. Who is realized. And that is coming from Shanti, from the peace, by allowing the mind to go inwards. But if you allow the mind to go outwards, it will become very powerful in this world, but he will never find any peace inside. So, having said that, Krishna says, whatever desires are coming in, if it enters into one's heart, as long as it does not create any movement inside, even if there is so many desires outside, his shanti is very deep. He is in a very deep, peaceful situation. And therefore, it is called, in Shastram they call it as Akaitava Shanti. That Akaitavam, Kaitavam and Akaitavam, two things. Kaitava Shanti is the one, that peace you receive from, that, say for example, if you perform from sadhana. Sadhana. Sadhana means like chanting the holy name, some deity worship, some meditation, and things like that. This is a sadhana. If you perform sadhana, you will get some peace from that, isn't it? You'll get some peace from engaging in sadhana. People also know that. That's why they perform sadhana. But that shanti, that peace that's coming from sadhana is temporary. It won't last. Whereas the peace that is coming from this shanti inside will last. It is that shanti is different than the shanti what we get from sadhana, which is big difference. That sadhana is for chitta shuddhi. We must remember that. Sadhana is for chitta shuddhi, to purify our inside. That's all sadhana does. But the knowledge of this understanding, what Krishna has spoken, if we don't fix our mind on that and then execute sadhana, whole lifetime you could execute sadhana, and at the end, when you stop the sadhana, you will see you're back in square one. This will happen. This happens to many, many people. Sometimes people practice spiritual life for a whole lifetime, but they never took this point seriously, what Krishna is talking about. They continuously practice sadhana because they were told that you have to engage in sadhana. So they kept doing sadhana whole lifetime, and then they are saying at the end of the life that we didn't get anywhere. What has happened now? Why did that happen? That's what Krishna is answering in these verses. Krishna is saying that situation has happened because when you started spiritual life, you did not make this resolve in your mind that what your goal was. And keeping the goal or focused on the goal all the time, you should execute the sadhana. The goal is important. Because if the goal is not clear, that I'm just doing sadhana because everybody else is doing sadhana, or I've been told by somebody to do sadhana, I'm doing the sadhana, that is no good. That's what Krishna's point is. That if you do like that, Krishna says, the shanti, peace, what you get from execution of sadhana will be temporary. Whereas the shanti you receive from, with this understanding, if you executed sadhana will be permanent. Then once it is, because in this process what's happening is the mind leaves the world outside and goes inwards. So person who has turned his mind inwards, he is in the properly situated. He is going towards the soul, inquiring the truth. The search is on inside. And therefore his sadhana will benefit him. But one who has not done that, simply done the sadhana throughout life, he will find that not very rewarding. So whatever happens, for a person who has turned his mind inwards, whatever happens, he is not going to come out from inside. That's another thing. Once that is fixed, and once the inquiry has gone inward looking towards the soul, then he is not going to come back again by all what is going on in the world outside. And once he has experienced that, no matter what happens, any vikshepam means all these thoughts that comes through, that he is always Jivan Mukta. He is in the liberated state, or Sthita Prajna, or Gunatitan, or Bhagavad Uttaman. You can call whichever you like. This is that state of that person. You can call him whichever, because in Krishna calls the same person under different names in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Sometimes Krishna says, oh, he has transcended the modes of nature. Sometimes Krishna says he is above the dualities of the world. Sometimes Krishna says he is a man of steady intelligence, Sthita Prajnatam. Sometimes Krishna says he is a liberated soul. All these are actually means one and the same thing. But in different situations, Krishna has used different words. That is what Krishna is saying here, that anubhuti. Anubhuti means that blissful experience, and the peace that he is experiencing will never leave him again. Sa shandim apnoti na kamakami. Kamakami will get everything, but shandi he will never get it. Shandi he will never get it. Otherwise, instead of this, for every stimulus, what happens inside, if you keep on surrendering to that all the time and trying to fulfill this, then he will never get peace, Krishna says. He will never get peace. This all, the Krishna is talking to us about the nature of the mind and how to overcome the effect of the mind. That's why Krishna says, so Krishna talk about this, Sakama Kami, Krishna mentions that. And if this is understood, he does not move anymore from that situations, and this is to be experienced by practicing it. That's the point. That unless we practice it, this concept, what Krishna has explained here, if you don't practice it, it will not become a reality. And then Krishna says, even if you make one step in that direction, because Krishna knows our weaknesses very well. But Krishna says, even if you make one step in that direction, eventually we will get there. It won't happen immediately, but eventually it can happen. So, Yoga Vidya is like that. That to understand things properly and to implement that in our own life. If you don't take it on board, then it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So, sometimes, for example, Krishna saying there, then suppose there is a musical concert going on somewhere, and when you hear the musical concert, when you are in the concert, you enjoy the concert, that you are reciprocating. You also think that, why not I sing in the same way? But that's not possible, isn't it? Only when you start singing, you realize how different it is than the person who was singing in the concert. So then what you have to understand is that practice is required. That person has reached that stage after a long time of practice. Like sportsmen, the musicians, they all practice a lot, isn't it, to make success in their life. So similarly, spiritual life is also like that. It requires practice. It cannot happen. This state will not happen without that. So, but All these things can happen, Krishna says, in a second also. I said that before. That is what is interesting. Krishna says if Krishna's mercy comes when it will happen is very difficult to say for anybody. It's very difficult to say for anyone. The reason for that is we all have certain vasanas inside that has come with us. That has come with us. If the vasana world, the world of vasanas or world of these different impressions inside is small, if it's not too big, it can happen very easily. But if there is too powerful vasanas inside, then we may have to wait some time till that happens. So, adhyalpa vidya or spiritual knowledge is compared to this musical practices. There is good thing, sometimes it can happen very easily, and the bad thing is that it may take a long time. That it is a thing where you cannot make any formal conclusion. You can never say that it will happen in 5 years, 10 years, 50 years or lifetimes. We never know. It can happen in one day. To such an extent, things can change. So, Krishna, that is why in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, you will see there, Krishna says a verse there, Shipram Bhavati Dharmalma. If you remember that verse, I think it is in the 7th chapter. There is a verse there, Kshipram bhavati dharmalma shashvat shantim nigachyati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. If you look into the verse in the Kshipram bhavati dharmalma, that is verse number is Ninth chapter, verse 31. So, there he says there, Kshipram bhavati dharmalma shashvat shantim nigachyati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. He says there, he quickly become righteous and attains lasting peace. Very quickly, he says. So how come on the one hand, Krishna is saying we have to practice it. On the other side, he says, Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. It comes very fast, he says. Shashval chandim nigachari. Again, Krishna talks about shandi there. Shashval chandim nigachari. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashari. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. In that verse, Krishna says that, isn't it? So, what does it mean? Why did Krishna say two different things? On the one hand, Krishna says it can happen immediately, without delay. Kshipram. Kshipram means quickly. It can happen. Bhavati dharmalma shashvat shantim nigachyati. That means, one who has made that decision properly, firm decision, it can happen to him very quickly. It is, why it's not happening to us, because we have not made the decision yet, what we want in spiritual life. We, as I mentioned yesterday, there are two things in life. One is religion, and other one is spirituality. Religious people are those who live a comfortable material life, and they include God also a part of it. That's religion. Spiritual life is, there is only God exist. There is no material life, and my interest there. That's spiritual life. So, this separation between religion and spiritual life, Krishna says, this decision of making vyavasayalpiyabuddhi, Krishna calls it, that's only possible for spiritualists, those who are in spiritual life. Those who are religious life, they cannot reach that. They cannot do it. Because why? Krishna gave the reasons also there, isn't it? Bhogam, Aishwaryam, Prasaktanam, Thaya, Abharda Chedasam. It's not possible for them. Why? Because their mind is completely occupied with bhogam, sense enjoyment, aishwaryam, opulences, and fulfilling those desires. So for them, Krishna is another person to help in their fulfilling those desires. Therefore, it's called religion. But spiritual life, the difference, adhyalpa vidya, it is called adhyalpa vidya. Spiritual life is where all these things, you have thrown it away. your material life, interest in this world, everything is out, completely taken out. All that you are focused on the one truth, that I want to realize the truth in this life before I lose this body, before I have to leave this body. Once who has made that decision, Krishna says, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma, it can happen to him. Not to the person who is leading his religious life. For him, it could be a long haul. It may end up eventually, he also has to come to this understanding. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So there itself, Krishna has drawn a very clear line there between a spiritually progressing person and a person who is in a religious life. Religious life doesn't help. Religious life is only for maintaining this body. Nothing else than that. Religious life doesn't have any goal. A person who is leading a religious life, he doesn't have any clear goal in himself. He is accepting that this body is there, I have to live somehow happily in this body without causing, and if Krishna can help me in that way, I'll take Krishna's shelter. It's all conditional. Whereas in spiritual life, first thing you surrender is the false ego. You are after knowledge there and realizations, isn't it? That's what is driving the spiritual life. Because you have seen there is a truth beyond all these things what we experience in this world. And when that inquiry becomes very deep-rooted inside, and when one is constantly striving very hard, utilizing this knowledge what Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then you become conscious of it, and as much as you are experiencing the benefit of that knowledge, you will withdraw from all the other commitments in this world. That is spiritual life. So, that's what Krishna is saying here, that Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Even if that person may have had many bad habits in the past, Krishna is not giving any importance to that. That you will see later. Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma, he will reach Shashwat Shantim Nigachadi. He will, because he made that correct decision in his life, Krishna gives value to it. More than whether he has, I will give you best example in the Bhagavad Gita itself, the example is there. Shashwat Shantim Nigachadi Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashari. It's a very, very powerful verse. Arjuna, take it from me that one who has surrendered his ego to me, he will never fall. He is under my shelter, direct shelter. Krishna says, Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashari. We are talking about a bhakta who has surrendered his ego, not the devotee who just got initiated. That's not what he is referring to. Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashari. That is the value of that statement. Krishna is stressing on that point. And then, immediately after that, he said there, Abhijet Sudiracharo Bhajade Imam Ananyabhak Sadhureva Samandavya Samyak Vivasidohisa. This is just verse before that. Before this verse, Kshipram Bhavati, 931 we mentioned, 930 I think the verse, isn't it? Abhijet Sudiracharo Bhajanimam Ananyabhak, the verse before that, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So, there what does it mean? Abhijet Sudiracharo Bhajanimam Ananyabhak. You see there, Duracharam, okay, let's understand this. Duracharam means, we were habituated to so many bad things in life. Somehow or the other it happened. Due to some reason, whatever it is. Because we were trying to satisfy our desires, or we were trying to, we fell into the sense of enjoyment, whatever it is. Duracharam. It's called Duracharam. Suduracharam means very deeply absorbed in that. Yeah. Abhijayat, Krishna says, Suduracharam, but when he came to know about this self-realization, and he got attracted to it, the whole process, he made a decision, Bhajade Imam Ananyabhak, he has decided to completely surrender unto me and hand over himself to me. Krishna says, that's that Ananyabhak means. Ananyabhak means Ananyam. Anyam, there is no other interest in this world except surrendering to me. So Krishna says, if somebody has made a decision and surrendered to me, Sadhureva Samandavya Samyak Vivasidohisa, that I will consider him as a sadhu, because as far as Krishna is concerned, he has taken the right decision. That's more important. The decision making. He gives more value to it. Samyak Vyavasidohisa. Then Krishna says, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. He will become a Dharmatma, a great soul. Because Shashya Chandim Nigachari. Because he has got that proper understanding. He is acting with proper understanding, in other words. Krishna respects those who have understood things and acting properly. Not understanding anything, but simply doing is not something what Krishna very much appreciate. Reason is this, that unless we understand things properly and do it, nothing will come out properly. Even in material life, it's like that, isn't it? When you want to do something, you have to know what you're doing. So same thing in spiritual life also. Krishna is saying, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashari. My devotee will never fall. Because why? He has taken me as the sole refuge. And he has surrendered his ego unto me. So, then, see, a person may be living a very moral life, sadachari. Durachari, sadachari. Sadachari means one lives a very good moral life. Many people who are very religious, they are very morally also, they may be living a very good moral life, isn't it? They may be living a very moral life. That, but Krishna's point is this. If you think you can give up all your bad habits, duracharam, and then you study all the moral code, and then you want to practice it in your life, there is not so much time left in this world for us to come to perfection. So that is the reason that if you try to practice all the sadacharam, all the proper habits, if you want to develop and give up all your bad habits one after the other, and to do all that, it may not happen in this life. Because, reason Krishna says that, that this duracharam and sadacharam, in other words, this bad habits and the good habits is not inside us. It is in the material nature. It is in the material nature. It is due to contact with material nature that these things are happening, not due to the soul. The soul has no such intentions of good or bad. Soul is beyond than that. So once you come to platform, the spirit soul, spiritual platform, this duracharam and sadacharam has no value there. There that knowledge is driving you, not the sadacharam and duracharam. At the moment what's happening is, most of the people are thinking that, oh, I am living a proper life, I am a very honest person, everything what I am doing is according to the codes or codes of behavior, standards, and this etiquette, Vaishnava etiquette, and Shaiva etiquette, whatever etiquette you want to call it. All these etiquettes is no use when it comes to spiritual life. Spiritual life, important thing is, Krishna says, make up this mind your first. And then move on after that. Then all your other so-called duracharam will fall away one day. And they are not important. Because sadacharam, duracharam are part of the material nature. It's nothing to do with the soul. Once you move on to the spiritual platform, Krishna says, those things doesn't matter. They have no value at all. Both of them are not in us. It is in the material nature. In Prakriti, it happens. So that is not the goal. So one who... one who understands this and acts in this world, very quickly material nature will withdraw from him. Very quickly material nature will withdraw him. How bad habits came to us and good habits came to us is only due to association with modes of nature. Isn't it? Modes of nature created that in us. But once we ignore the modes of nature will withdraw at some point, because our goal is something different than all these modes of nature and the principles what we are involved about. So religious people, persons who are absorbed in religious life, they will give importance to all this kind of things. Which one? This morals and values. It's a very tall order what Krishna is saying there. That the thing what Krishna is making clear to us is that all your so-called morals and values and all is not that will bring you to me. What will bring you and realize the truth will be something different than all that. What is that? That vyavasaya maya buddhi, that decision you have made. And if it is an honest decision, Krishna says you have made it inside. And if you are progressing in that path, very soon, he says things will change with that person. So, whether you are a durachari or sadachari, doesn't matter, Krishna says. You know what I am saying, durachari, sadachari. Sadachari means one who lives a very moral life. Durachari means one who is immoral. That's all. One who is immoral is durachari. One who lives a moral life is sadachari. Krishna says, it doesn't matter what it is. If he has made this decision, very soon he will realize the truth. Whether it is sadachari or durachari. But, if the problem, he says, if you are a sadachari or one who is living a moral life, he will have this false faith in his morals. All his attention will be focused on the morals, what he is thinking about. And not only that, and he will also be very much particular about his effort. So if you put all your faith in your morals and effort, it will take longer time, because you have to come out of your these misunderstandings. And this his own morals will give him a lot of trouble in spiritual life. His own morals will give him a lot of trouble in spiritual life. And it will only happen, the truth will be realized only at a point when he loses his faith in his own effort. When he loses his faith in his own effort. You see, Sadacharam brings that problem. That doesn't mean that we should go and become Durachari. I mean, that's not what it means. What Krishna is saying is that when you give too much importance to these morals and values and things like that in spiritual life, it binds us in one way. What happens? I have a lot of, say, I'm following everything very strictly, all the rules and regulations, with full stress on the morals, moral values. What will happen is, always inside there is the thinking, oh, I'm following everything correctly, so nothing can go wrong. And then also I think that my own effort will lead me to perfection, because I am doing it then, isn't it? I am the one who is doing it. Whereas Durachari, what he does is, he says, I am finished, I am fallen, I have nothing to give to anybody. Nobody is taking note of me anyway. I am finished. He surrenders his ego straight away. So Krishna says, even if he is a Durachari, because he has surrendered his ego first, this surrendering ego is more important than all this Sadacharam and Duracharam, following moral principles and not following moral principles. Surrendering the ego is more important. That is what Krishna says will realize the truth. That is a person who will realize the truth. So practically you can see, a Sadachari will take a longer time sometimes to realize the truth. Why? Because he has faith in his own effort. That's what is going to bring the realization, he thinks. And secondly, he has great confidence in this Sadacharam, in his morals. Now, how do you find this out? This is exactly the reason Vedavyasa Maharshi in the Mahabharatam brought Yudhishthira and Arjuna together. Yudhishthira and Arjuna together. Deliberately, Krishna won't instruct Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira. Why? Yudhishthira was so focused on his Sadacharam and Dharma. He was after that. When Krishna understood, Krishna says, let him take its own time. Whereas Arjuna, with all other problems he had, yeah, he was not Sadachari in strict sense. When he took up saffron clothes when he wanted to marry Subhadra, isn't it? He had no problem at all. And Arjuna's is like that. Arjuna's nature is like that. But Arjuna is very straightforward. Very straightforward. He didn't have any Sadacharam to claim, like the way Yudhishthira could claim. Yudhishthira was so fond of dharmam and religious principles that he will not make any compromise over that. And that is why when Bhagavad Gita Krishna spoke, he decided to speak Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna rather than Yudhishthira. It is for this reason only. That Arjuna was a clean slate. In other words, he says there that Arjuna, Yudhishthira's faith was not in Krishna. Yudhishthira's faith was in his own morals, on dharmam. In dharmam he had this faith. In Srimad Bhagavatam you will see this, that Yudhishthira Maharaj starts crying after all the people got killed in the war, isn't it? 6.4 million people or something got killed in the Kurukshetra war. After the war was over, Yudhishthira Maharaj started feeling very depressed about this whole thing. And if you remember, in the Bhagavatam we discussed this in the first canto, that day by day he started feeling more depressed about all he was responsible for, this whole thing. That means very much I am the doer and I am the enjoyer was there in Yudhishthira. Whereas Arjuna had no problems. Krishna asked me to do it, I've done it. Finished with it. Everything, it is up to you now. Asked me to do it, I've done it. That was Arjuna. Like a soldier, he did that. Like a soldier does, isn't it? Soldier, if he is asked to kill, he just kills. He doesn't ask for any logic behind it. So Arjuna acted in that way. Yudhishthira Maharaj was not satisfied. He kept on with his dharma. He kept on with his dharma. So many people died, and at the end he felt depressed, and there was nobody to give any instructions to Yudhishthira at that point when this happened. Vedavyasa Maharshi came to the palace and spoke to Yudhishthira about this. Yudhishthira was not convinced. Then Dhaumya Maharshi came to the palace to instruct. Yudhishthira was not convinced. All the other brothers, four brothers, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula and Sahadeva, they told Yudhishthira, what is the point in now thinking about it? The war is over. So initially, Yudhishthira won't say anything about it. He was keeping it inside. But inside, he was thinking all the time that the whole thing has happened because Krishna mismanaged it. He mismanaged the whole thing. And he wouldn't say one word. Krishna knew what was going through Yudhishthira's mind, because while living in the same palace, Yudhishthira will ignore Krishna sometimes, deliberately. It was that to show that uneasiness inside. And Krishna also understood, he played that role very carefully, not to upset his elder brother, isn't it? On a bodily level, his elder brother. So wouldn't want to upset him. But slowly started coming out from inside after some time. He started saying to Bhima, I think this whole thing has happened because of Krishna. Krishna is the cause behind it. So Krishna didn't say anything, he kept quiet about it. But Bhima and Arjuna and others, they started saying to Yudhishthira, you shouldn't speak like that. After all, Krishna is our cousin. And the war has happened, now whom can we blame for this? Why should we blame anybody? No, Yudhishthira won't listen, it started coming out. It's all because of him, he said. It's all because of Krishna. When I told him to go and negotiate peace with the Kauravas, he didn't do that. Rather, he went and instigated them to create this fight. It's all opposite things what he has done. He could have sorted out this issue there. I was not asking for too much. I was just happy with one house to live somewhere. His morals were strongly pushing him. But Krishna was not looking for morals there. So he says there that Arjuna and Bhima came up to Krishna and says to him that Yudhishthira is having this problem inside. We have to do something. Krishna says, what can I do? That I've told him so many times that he is not responsible for this war, because Yudhishthira took it upon himself, I am responsible for this. But I've told him that he is not responsible, I am responsible, he doesn't have to worry about it, but he is not accepting that. So Arjuna says to Krishna, when I was in a crisis like this in the battlefield, you spoke Bhagavad Gita to me, didn't you? Krishna says, yes. So why don't you speak this Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira now? Maybe he will get pacified and he won't create any, he will be peaceful about that. Krishna says, I can try. I don't know whether it will work or not, he said. Because Krishna already knew. In other words, the person who is receiving this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, if he is not ready for it, or if he is stuck in somewhere else, in morals or in something else, whatever ideas one has, Bhagavad Gita won't have any benefit for him, cannot help him. Bhagavad Gita cannot help him. So what Yudhishthira did was, what Krishna did was, he said, call everybody, I'll speak to him Bhagavad Gita what I spoke to you. So same way, in the assembly of all the sages who were present in the palace at that time, Pandavas were present there, Kunti Devi was there, everybody was there, and Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita again to Yudhishthira at that point. This time, much more in an expanded form. In the battlefield, Krishna had very little time left. So in that, he spoke straight to Arjuna. But here, Krishna used a lot of examples and tried to make it a lot more in detail. In other words, explained everything to Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira heard everything. And at this end, he says to Krishna, have you finished now? What you got to say? In other words, nothing went inside. Nothing went inside. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there a verse, very important verse. It says there, Vyasadhyay Ishware Rajnyay Krishnena Ajnyay Krishnena Albhuda Karmanaha Prabhodidobi Itihasehi Na Buddhyada Shucharpitaha. In the Bhagavatam, Vyasadhyay Ishware Rajnyay Krishnera Albhuda Karmanaha, that Why did that not happen to Yudhishthira? Because everybody has not understood Krishna's position, who Krishna is. This is the problem. Vyasadhyay Ishware Rajyay Krishna Albhuda Karmana. Albhuda Karma. Albhuda Karma means that two patients, both of them got same disease. What is that? Depression. Isn't it? Yudhishthira and Arjuna both had the same disease. The medicine is the same, the doctor is the same. One gets cured, other doesn't get cured. Why did this happen? This is what Vedavyas is asking there. Yudhishthira and Arjuna, two patients, they were in depression state. Both of them were in terrible depression. Arjuna got in the depression at the beginning of the battle. Yudhishthira got into depression after the battle. Both were in depression. The medicine, what was given, is the same, Bhagavad Gita, for both. The doctor is same, Krishna. One person gets cured, other person didn't get cured. Why? He's asking. Then he answers, Vyasadhyay Ishware Rajyay Krishna Albhuta Karmana. That is the way Krishna operates in this world. Albhuta Karmam. What Krishna wants, nobody understands how Krishna works. And it is true with those who are searching after the truth also. Who will get that realization first? Nobody can say. That is Albhuta Karmam. That is Krishna's decision. Completely in Krishna's control. You cannot say that I have done all these things so I should get the self-realization. That will not work. You can try, but Krishna knows one thing. One who surrenders the false ego, naturally he gets the benefit faster than anyone else. That is what is expected of us when we surrender that false ego. Krishna is waiting to see when will we surrender. That ego will go from inside. So, Krishna Albhuta Karmana Prabodhidai Itihasaibhi Nabhudyeda Shicharpidaha. This time when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, to Yudhishthira, Prabodhidai Itihasaibhi, quoted everything from all the Shastram, everything with the loads of examples, Nabhudyeda, nothing went inside, Shicharpidaha. Still remained as completely in a depressed state, Yudhishthira. What was the reason behind that? Reason is this. Krishna decided, instead of me speaking to Yudhishthira now, let him hear from Bhishma. Because Yudhishthira had some faith in Bhishma. Yudhishthira has no faith in me. Krishna concluded, he has no faith in me. But let him come and we'll go to Bhishma and hear from Bhishma. If Bhishma talks about it, he will understand that. So it is important from when we hear from somebody, if you have only the faith in the person, that will have its effect. Otherwise it won't be there. So when he took Yudhishthira Maharaj and everybody, they all decided together, they went to see Bhishma, isn't it? So Krishna asked this question to Yudhishthira, that Yudhishthira, because I have said all these things, you're finding it difficult to accept it, isn't it? Suppose if Bhishma tells you, will you accept it? If the same thing what I'm telling you. Yudhishthira says to Krishna, that you killed that Bhishma also in the war, didn't you? He said, that's what you have done. You are a great favor to me. He said, at least the grandfather was there to give us some proper guidance at that time. Krishna says to Yudhishthira, Bhishma has not left the world yet. He's lying there on the bed of arrows still. Arjuna created the bed of arrows for Bhishma to lie down, isn't it? So he's still lying there. Why don't we go there? So what happened was that Pandavas went there. All the great sages, knowing very well that Bhishma is going to give up his body, they also arrived there, all prompted from within by Krishna. Super soul in everyone prompted them to come. Krishna also goes there. And in the presence of all these great personalities, Bhishma told Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, you don't know who this personality is. If you know him, you won't be lamenting like this. He is not only running one Mahabharata war, he is running billions and billions of universes behind him. That is that personality. Because you have not understood him, you are bringing this excuse to me, to talk to me about this war, what has happened in Kurukshetra. It's not only one war, he is running simultaneously billions of wars all over the creation. It is that personality, is Krishna. So Arjuna, because he surrendered his ego and accepted everything what Krishna has said, and went through very quickly for him. For Yudhishthira, although very much in dharma, very much on the moral side, because he has not accepted Krishna's authority, he had to wait longer time. And eventually through Bhishma, the truth was revealed to Yudhishthira also later. And then you can see that Yudhishthira had afterwards understood Krishna's position, what Krishna is. And that Krishna is the soul in all of us, situated inside the heart. And instead of approaching that super soul who is present inside, we are going and looking for the truth elsewhere in this world. That is our unfortunate situation. That's what Krishna is saying there. So, Dvayachari, Sadachari, they are not important. One who leaves the material nature and holds on to Krishna's, that means the truth, that he will escape first. He will escape first. That means breaking away with the material nature is liberation. Breaking away with the material nature is the liberation state. That, in other words, I'm not breaking away with material nature means what? That is, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I'm not this false ego. These are material nature. Material nature is present around us. We by nature is the soul. We are not a part of the material nature. Material nature has built this cage around us. Cage of body, mind, intelligence, senses, false ego, everything. This is a cage in which material nature has put us in. Once we break away from this cage of mind, body, intelligence, senses, none of them is me, then Krishna says, with very easily, the soul will prove its own existence. As long as we keep on thinking that I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence, and no matter how moral you are in this world, it is all something like a boat which has got a hole in that. It's going through the water, all the time the water is getting inside the boat. In the Upanishads, Mundaka Upanishads, it says like this, that's a statement in the Mundaka Upanishads. Mundaka Upanishads' point is that Plavaha jayade adrana yajna rupa ashta shobhatamaram yeshu karmaha Ena shreyo ye abhinandanti mudhaha jara mrityum de punarevabi yanti avidyam andare vartamanam swayam dhiraha panditam anyamanam jangayam anyam paryanti mudhaha andheneiva niyamanam yathandha. This is from the Mundaka Upanishad. Mundaka Upanishad is the Upanishads for sannyasis generally. Mundaka means to shave up completely shaved up head. That's mundanam. So Mundaka Upanishad is studied by sannyasis. That's why it's called Mundaka Upanishad. In there, these verses are saying ceremonies, rituals, and all sacrifices and things like that, that will keep men going round and round along that, and not to the ultimate goal. That means ultimate goal. And the only thing that will lead to the ultimate goal is that person who has made that decision inside, that I want spiritual realization. I want to come back to my original identity as the spirit soul. Just like sacrifices, so many rituals we have in our life, isn't it? All those things are not important compared to the self-realization of the knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self is more important than anything else. One who gives importance to that, even if he has so many lapses in his execution of other things, it does not make any difference. It won't make any difference. As I mentioned many times before, that all the sadhana, nishta, everything is only done with one purpose, so that our mind don't wander around in the world outside unnecessarily. So in order to do that, Krishna has created, they have given us this system which is known as smriti, so that we follow a disciplined life in this world, getting up early in the morning, bathing, chanting the holy name, doing deity worship, puja or meditation and things like that, and eating in a restricted manner. Not eating anything and everything, but eating in a restricted way, offering the food to the deity and eating it. So this way a discipline comes in life. Anushtanam it is called. അനുഷ്ഠാനം. ദാറ്റ് ഡിസിപ്ലിൻ വിൽ ലീഡ് വിൽ കീപ് ദ മൈൻഡ് അണ്ടർ കൺട്രോൾ. വിൽ കീപ് ദി മൈൻഡ് അണ്ടർ കൺട്രോൾ. മൈൻഡ് വോണ്ട് വാണ്ടർ അറൌണ്ട് ഇൻ ദ വേൾഡ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് അൺനെസസറി തിങ്സ്, ഗെറ്റിംഗ് ഇൻവോൾവ് ഇൻ അൺനെസസറി തിങ്സ്. At one time, you can imagine this, at one time when we didn't have all this modern technology, before television and media has developed to the stage like this today, people were not too concerned what was happening in another part of the world. It did not disturb them because we didn't know about it. Only when you know about it, you are worried about it, isn't it? Now we have every hour on the hour news, and then every half an hour the headlines, and then every quarter of an hour you are told that the flash news is coming now, then this is now, right now we are receiving this, listen. So this way it can keep you busy whole life and waste your time. Krishna's point is that the mind which is going like this, if it can be engaged in some disciplined way, so that it will not go out, because once you hear this news, what happens? Then it creates waves inside. Disturbances start from then, isn't it? So then you think, oh, if I didn't know about it, what would have happened? Only when you know the problem starts. If you didn't know, there is no problem at all. Problem comes by hearing about it, isn't it? And in this middle of the news, what Obama had the breakfast, if I come to know about it, how does it help me? But it is all in the news, isn't it? Obama had this for the breakfast, that for the breakfast. What does it matter? But this is all the type of news we are getting every moment, isn't it? So this news is not a good thing as we think about it all the time. So similarly, less like how distraction happens to us in that way, Krishna is also saying there, this anushtanam, sadhana and all that, that also should not distract you from the goal what we are working for. The goal is something different than all these things. Anushtanam, sadhana is necessary. Don't think that it is not necessary. It is necessary to keep the mind in that peaceful state. Therefore, we engage in sadhana. To keep the mind under. And that way, the mind will get purified. So a lot of vasanas will go away. If we develop a disciplined life. Disciplined life helps us to do that. But that itself is not the goal. The goal is something different than that. Then it says here that avidyayam andare vartamanam swayam dhiraha panditam manyamanaha. So dhira means one who has. Dhira is this important word in the Sanskrit language. You will notice this, dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara സദാ ധീര ദേഹാന്തര പ്രാപ്തി ധീര സ്ഥത്രാന്ന മുഖ്യതി. ധീര ധീര നോർമലി ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് റെഫേർഡ് ടു ഇൻ വൺ വേ. വാട്ട് ഡസ് ദാറ്റ് മീൻ? ധീര മീൻസ് വൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് വെരി ബോൾഡ് ആൻഡ് കറേജിയസ്. ഹി ക്യാൻ ഫേസ് എനി സിറ്റുവേഷൻ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ധീര. നോർമൽ സെൻസ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് യൂസ്ഡ്. ബട്ട് ഇൻ സ്പിരിച്വൽ സെൻസ് വെൻ ദ വേർഡ് ധീര ഈസ് യൂസ്ഡ്, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് എ ഡിഫറെന്റ് മീനിങ്. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് മീനിങ്? ദ മീനിങ് ഇസ് ദിസ്. വെൻ വൺ സെൻസസ് ആർ വെരി ഡിമാൻഡിംഗ്, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഇൻ ദ യൂത്ത്, വെൻ ഹിസ് സെൻസസ് ആർ വെരി demanding, and when his intelligence and mind is in a very good shape, and when his body is also in a good shape, when the body, mind, intelligence is in a good shape and the senses are very demanding, that means the youthful time, if one makes a decision to go for spiritual life, he is a dhira. You see, that means he has got the correct decision he has made in his life. In the youth, not in the old age, in the youth, before it gets old, if he does not get distracted by all the attractions of this world and decided to use his life, means the body, the mind, intelligence, senses, everything, in spiritual advancement and to realize the truth, if he makes that decision in his youth, he is a dhira. That's the word meaning dhira there. So that is the same meaning in that verse also in the Bhagavad Gita. Dehinosmin yatha dehe. Dhira statrana mukhyadi. Of course, Prabhupada translated that as sober, isn't it? Dhira. Word. Sober means this. That from Upanishads, dhira is defined like this. Dhira is that person who has made that decision at the right time in life, because he knows. He sees the whole life. He doesn't think in terms of his childhood, boyhood, youth or old age, nothing. He's thinking the whole life. I got this much amount of time in with me. I got this body, mind, intelligence, senses. And I got some energy in me. Let me utilize it for the highest purpose of self-realization. Once he has made that decision, Krishna says he is dhira. He is dhiram. So, having said that, he says here, so, avidya mandare vartamanaha, that avidya is there in everyone. So, wiping out of this avidya, avidya means ignorance inside, dhiraha, swayam dhiraha, he is dhira, pandita manyamana, not a scholar who studied all the shastram, he is not the dhira. There are many scholars who have studied shastram, isn't it? They know the shastram very well, but they have not put it into execution, all that. What they andheneva niyamanam yathandham. Just like a leading the blind, otherwise it will carry on in this world. So, those who think that with their karmam and with their achar means their practices or what they follow in this world, or through their work, through their karmam, if they think that they can escape, Krishna says that it will be like this boat in the ocean, which has got a hole in that. But it says you need to be adridaha. Adrida means firm something. Karmakandam in the Vedas cannot take you to the truth. Karmakandam in the Vedas cannot take you to the truth. Karmakandam cannot take it. And there are different ways of engaging in karma anushtanam. It's just like in the Vedas, particularly in the Yajurvedam, there is this description about how to execute karmagandam. And there are many sacrifices mentioned there. So in the Vedic times, execution of sacrifices was important. That was given all the importance. So, all those things, karmagandam, Krishna says will help for chitta shuddhi, for purification inside. That means what happens with the karmagandam? Following karmagandam means we become disciplined in life and it purifies inside. It purifies inside, no doubt. Chitta shuddhi will happen. But that alone will not take you to the goal. That's the point. That alone will not take you to the goal. And on the other hand, if we start thinking, be feeling proud about it, because it will naturally happen. When you execute a lot of sacrifices, you will feel proud about it. That I have done something which is normally not possible for many people. It has happened in the case of Prajina Barhis. If you remember, in the Bhagavadam, if you study this fourth canto, you will see there a great king called Prajina Barhis. He has continuously performed sacrifices and he was feeling great satisfaction. I have performed so many sacrifices in my life. It is then that one day Sri Narada Maharshi comes there and teaches him that what is in waiting for him from the sacrifices. Because from the effect of the sacrifices is that you can go to heavenly planets and enjoy there. Enjoy the heavenly comforts or the high grade level of sense gratification in the heavenly planets. So Prajina Barhis was thinking, I have executed so many sacrifices now that I will have a very long time of sense enjoyment and comfortable life in the heavenly planets. This is what he was keeping in his mind because he had no idea about the final goal. So it is then that Sri Narada Maharshi came and instructed him, and eventually Prajina Barhis understood that what he has fixed as his goal was not the proper goal. Then he changes the goal, goes to the forest, performs austerities and penances, eventually gets freed himself from this material life. The kings were so powerful in those days who could do such a thing. So, Krishna says here, one who believes in all the other things in this world except this truth, self-realization, he says he will have to go through again the same thing, repetition of birth, death, old age and disease. That will constantly happen to him and he will have to suffer from that. There are two kinds of dharmam. One is the eternal dharmam. Eternal means shashvatam, eternal dharmam. And that is whether it is your Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jew, whoever it is, it doesn't matter. They are all bound by that eternal dharma. That if you look very sushma, in a very subtle level, if you study all the religions, you will see that eventually the goal is defined in the same way. The goal is defined in the same way. But then there is another thing called smriti. This is what is known as shruti. Shruti means that thing which takes you to the ultimate goal. So, Shruti is there at different levels spoken in different religions. In Christianity, Islam, Judaism, everywhere, is the same truth is spoken, that there is a higher principle and the goal is to something different. But that is known as Shruti. In Vedas, it's spoken a lot more in depth about it. But then there is another thing called a Smriti. What is Smriti? Smriti is this. Smriti means that in order to reach that goal, we have been given certain instructions. You live in a particular way. You follow certain principles, morals and everything in life. This is called Smriti. And Smriti can change from place to place, according to the people. Like the rules and regulations followed in India may not be followed elsewhere. Or what followed in Europe will not be followed in Africa. Or Africa, what is followed in the Middle East, it will be different. So, according to the different religious processes, Smriti can change. But Shruti cannot change. Why? All the realized souls in all religious processes, they will all talk the same language. Once they have realized the truth, they speak the same language. And you reach that stage through Shruti. Smriti does not take you there. Smriti, what Smriti does is, it creates a favorable environment to practice Shruti. Smriti creates a favorable environment for that. So, Shruti and Smriti are the two things which Krishna is talking about here. So, in Shruti, what we discuss is that truth which never changes. Smriti can change everywhere, depending on, for example, the morals and the values for in the Middle East won't be followed elsewhere. They have their own values and morals, isn't it? And when we see that their morals and values are different, we say that, well, what's wrong with your religion, we say, isn't it? Or they think that our values and morals are wrong, and they ask us what's happening with your morals. There's no point in arguing about morals and values. That is Smriti. That is different places, different people have followed different religious systems for or the morals, what they are necessary for their creating their environment. But Shruti doesn't change. Shruti doesn't change. The knowledge is firm. What is the knowledge? Knowledge is this, that we are not this body. We are something different than the body. It can be spoken in different ways in different languages. But when you have realized the truth, it is the same for everybody, whether you are a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian. After realization, it is the same. So that's the point Krishna is making here, that that truth, Krishna's case, that truth which is open to all, Krishna says there is only one door to that. There's only one door towards that. Once you know the truth, that Shanti will become his Swarupam. His actual existence will be that peace. So, once the Shanti state comes, or peaceful state comes, whether you are a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or whatever it may be, they are all religions. Remember that. They are not spiritual life. These are all religions. Once we have, through that process, if you escape from that and come to understand the truth, then none of these exists for us. You are not a Hindu, Christian, Muslim after that. You are on the spiritual platform. The knowledge has come and the self-realization has happened. And those who have self-realized, they all confirm the same truth at the end. So, it is this Shanti, how he is experiencing, is the next verse. Verse 71. Vihaya kamanya sarvan, kamanya sarvan. Pumams charati nispriha, nirmamo nirahankara, sashantim abhigachati. Once again, vihaya kamanya sarvan, pumams charati nispriha, nirmamo nirahankara, sashantim abhigachati. Translation. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. Vihaya kaman yasarvan, pumams charadi nispraha, nirmamo nirahankara sashantim adigachadi. Sashantim adigachadi. See what Krishna is saying there. Krishna is saying, that vihaya kamanya sarvan puvam charadin spriha. The same thing what he has spoken till now, desires, desires, desires must go from inside. And Krishna has analyzed this in different ways, isn't it? Because from all these things what happened, ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion will develop. So Krishna says here, vihaya kaman. Vihaya kaman means one who has given up all desires from inside. Vihaya kaman. Such a person, charade nispraha. What does that mean? Nispraha means, it's just like a leaf which is fully dry. It has fallen from the tree. It's lying on the street. If a wind comes, it will take the leaf in one direction. If another wind comes and takes it another direction, it will go along with that. Krishna says, a person who has reached that state, pumam charati nispruha, he will move in this world in that way. That whatever that happens, whichever way he is carried in this world, whichever direction it is taking him, it won't matter. Because he is free from any desire. One who is desiring a lot, he will be very particular about everything, isn't it? Oh, unless it is there, I can't do it. Unless that's there, I can't sleep. Unless I have this, I can't live in this world. Everything will be conditional for him. But vihaya kamanya sarvan pumam sharadin spraha. One who has given up all those desires, he is just like this dry leaf in the wind. How he gets blown everywhere, he goes along with that. He is so relaxed about everything. In other words, there is no weight in anything, what he does. There is no weight, because there is no spriha. There is no connection anywhere. And a person who has jivan mukta, one has come to that stage, he is also moving in this world in the same way. One who has realized the truth, sa shandi madigachadi, one who has got that state of shandi inside, this is how he will live in this world. How? Nirmamo nirahangaraha. Nirmamam. There is no mamata or attachment anywhere. There is no attachment anywhere, and neither there is any false ego inside. Nirahangaraha. Hangara means false ego. So these are the two symptoms of a person who has come to that state of shandi. Vihaya kamanya sarvan puman charati nispraha. Because all desires have gone away from inside, he will move in this world, puman charati nispraha, without any spraha, that he is completely relaxed, no weight inside. Then, nirmamo nirahangara, there is no mamata or attachment, something is mine, or this is mine, that's yours, all these feelings are gone from inside. This mamata, me and mine, what we say, isn't it? The two big problems. Mamata, me and mine. And mamata, one's attachment is gone, nirmamata, mamatam. Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, to all the householders who are living at home, they should live with that mentality. If we think, get attached to all the things what is in the house and the family members, he says, you're finished. You will not be able to live your householder life. Householder life for the householder, Krishna says, particularly this, stay like a guest. A guest doesn't have to pay the bills, isn't it? Guest stays there. He comes and goes. Similarly, he says, you just happen to be here in the house, somehow got involved in this householder life, wait for that to leave the house and go from there one day. In that mood, if you live in the householder life, that is nirmamattam. Nirmamattam. Whereas, if we get completely caught up in the householder life and becomes a part and parcel of every small thing what goes on in the house, Krishna says it is not going to be very pleasant afterwards. So, nirmamam. Nirmamo nirahangara. These two things. Nirmamatva means free from that attachment to everything. Mamata has gone. And nirahangaram. Ahangara means that false ego is not inside, that I am doing everything. Krishna, whenever we execute karma, Krishna says this, that karmam we are not executing. Material nature is doing it through us. If we develop that understanding, Krishna says that that mamam ahangaram will go away from inside. He has no mamata, he has no false ego inside. These two things, mamata and ahanda, without a rope, it is binding us. It is binding us. And the person who has vihaya kamanya sarvan, he does not think that he is anybody in this world. That is his relaxed state, that he does not give importance to himself. You know, he doesn't think I am somebody important in this world, nor he does think he thinks that anything belongs to him in this world. That is that state. Nirmamo nirahangara vihaya kamanya sarvan puman charati nispruha. Nirmamo nirahangara. He doesn't have either of them. And what can you say about his freedom? The freedom he is enjoying in that state. Krishna says that is freedom. One who has been released from these two bondages, which is that mine and also the false ego, he is the one who is actually free. Krishna says he is the one who is actually free. There was a Buddha Bhikshu, Buddhist monk by name Nagarjuna. He is a very famous Buddhist monk. He lived at that time, and Nagarjuna was a, and he used to travel around as a avadhuta. That means like our Dattatreya Maharshi and so many others. A king gave him a golden pot once, because he was so well known and respected. So king thought, I'll honor him with a golden pot. And he was lying down underneath a tree one night with the golden pot there. So a thief wanted to steal that golden pot from him. So he was coming and trying to steal this pot from him. So, after some, he couldn't succeed. So at that time, Nagarjuna understood that he wants to steal this golden pot from him. So he called him and told him like that, please take this with you because it's disturbing my sleep. He says, he handed over the pot to him and told him to take it away. So the thief took that pot and went away. But next day he came back with the pot. And he says to Nagarjuna, this, that when you, do you know that pot which you have given to me, and after I have taken it, I realize that I am a very poor person with that pot, and you are an emperor. You are an emperor. Because when you have given that pot to me, you got rid of a heavy weight from your shoulders. And where did you get this freedom? That was the question he asked Nagarjuna. Please explain to me, how do you got this freedom to live like this? And then Nagarjuna talks to him about this mamatvam, attachment to anything. So in the Bhagavatam you will see in so many places the same topic comes up again and again. Parigrahaya dukhanam, as long as our happiness goes away when you are possessing things. And you are possessing things. It is free from possessions. It is that state when one feels happiness in this world. So, after saying this, that yadā sarve pravṛttate suramandiradaru mūla nivāsam shayyābhūtalam ajinam vāsa sarva parigraha bhogatyāgam kasya sukham na karoti virāga. Bhajagovindam prayers, Ajāri Swamiji says this. Suramandiradaru mūla nivāsam, lying down underneath the tree, very happily. Shayyābhūtalam ajinam vāsam, that ground, the earth is the bed and the hand is the pillow to him. Sarva parigraha bhoga tyagam, given up all desires of sense enjoyment, bhogam, and given up all that, sarva parigraham, and non possessing anything in this world, kasya sukham na karodi viraga, is there anyone more happier than him who has reached that stage, who is enjoying that freedom in this world, free from all kinds of possessions? When all things goes away, Krishna says, and all things are going away from, all desires goes away from a person, then amrudo bhavati, he becomes, comes to the state of nectar. While he is within the body, he has already reached that final state of perfection, and he is situated in the Brahman. We'll see the next verse tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.